Margaret Borwatt introduced herself to me with a phone call, saying that she had seen an interview of me on television the night before, and that I was someone she absolutely had to meet. She explained that she had been having a particularly fear-filled and restless night, and that in the wee hours of the morning she turned on the television for distraction, and there I was. She said she considered me to be her personal angel that night, offering the exact words she needed to hear, exactly when she needed to hear them. An ardent believer in the power of fate, I quickly put her on the books for my next available appointment. As I waited for her to arrive for her appointment, I wondered what this meeting would bring. In my many years of working with the dying, I had become accustomed to serendipitous events, and I looked forward to what would unfold with Margaret. I sat at my desk doing paperwork and glanced out the window just in time to see Margaret pull into the parking lot. As she got out of her car, I was a bit surprised at what I saw, or perhaps it was what I could not see. It looked like a long, oversized, down-filled coat was moving across the parking lot. Of course, Margaret was inside the coat, but trust me, the coat was far larger than she was. And although it was a crisp autumn morning, the weather certainly did not warrant her wardrobe choice. I smiled to myself as I watched this giant coat with legs walk toward the building, touched by what I intuited from this vision. Margaret's cloistered wardrobe told me that she was not yet sure she wanted to reveal herself to me, a stranger who had spoken to her so eloquently through the television the week before. I had no doubt on the morning she called to schedule an appointment that she had acted on the strong conviction she felt after her uncanny middle-of-the-night introduction to me. But as is often the case, convictions of the spirit can start to weaken under the weight of everyday life, and what seemed magical a week ago likely felt odd and maybe even a little crazy to her on that day. I was grateful she'd kept her appointment with me. I welcomed Margaret warmly into my office. Of course, I asked if I could take her coat, to which she predictably said no. As she and her large coat sat down, I was struck by the sparkle in her eye. As we moved through the necessary jargon of our first meeting, I quickly began to hear the voice of a woman who was nothing less than mesmerizing to me from the first word she spoke. Margaret explained that she was a 15-year survivor of breast cancer. Since her diagnosis, she had become one of the most notable breast cancer advocates in the United States, even speaking before Congress and successfully lobbying to have new treatments for this disease approved. She had recently been diagnosed with a recurrence of her cancer that she knew would result in her death. By her estimation, she had a lifespan of no longer than 3 years. She was a realist, if she was anything at all. On the night she had seen my interview, she had awakened from a fitful sleep, full of fear. Her fear was simple. She knew she was going to die, and she wanted to die well. She had spent the last 15 years living well with a difficult disease. She realized her focus had to change. Now she needed to learn how to die well, but she had no idea where to turn to begin this new learning process. Unable to quiet her thoughts, she had turned on the television, and to her astonishment, there was an interview about dying well. It was at that moment the hand of fate began weaving the threads of our lives together. One thing was certain, both Margaret and I had a story to tell. Her story was one of triumph over her disease. My story was one of a different sort. I was a woman who had somehow been walking between worlds for most of my life, and this is our story.